Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. I would like to invite you who are here in the Worship Center, you who are online, to find your Bibles with me. If you have your book of the Bible, wonderful. We encourage you to bring that here to Westview with you. If you don't have one to bring along, let me know. I'll get you one. Otherwise, if you have your phone, you have the app on your phone, you can look up our passage there. And you're seeing it on the screen this morning. Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. Matthew is found in the New Testament, the very first book of the New Testament, chapter 11, verse 28. And as you're finding that passage this morning, just a quick reminder of what we're doing here at Westview. We gave a little bit of longer introduction to this series last week. So if you're curious to learn a little bit more, I would invite you to go back, check out the podcast or check out the video stream that's on our website. But real quick, we have entered into just a short four-part sermon series around Sabbath. Around really sort of just understanding some of the greater, larger, general biblical perspectives on Sabbath. And we named last week that we all come to Sabbath with probably some different thoughts. You know, maybe some of us have a real positive experience with Sabbath, or we love Sabbath. It comes naturally to us. It's one of our most dear, treasured faith practices. Or maybe some of us come to Sabbath with a little hesitation. Or we've had some negative experiences about Sabbath, and so we come to Sabbath with different experiences. And regardless of where that is, my hope is this during this sermon series. It is simply that we'll have a greater understanding about the biblical perspective of Sabbath. Kind of take a look at Sabbath as a whole, from a kind of a 30,000-foot overview. We're not going to get deep into the weeds of this, but if this primes the pump, if this sort of whets the appetite, we'd love to give you some more resources. But we want to study Scripture or understand and appreciate the gift that Sabbath is and how Sabbath can be a gift for us as we want to continue to seek and to find rest in Christ, which is a part of our vision here at Westview Church, finding rest in Christ. And we want to be encouraged, and we want to be challenged in Sabbath, and perhaps even begin to dabble in practicing Sabbath, no matter where we're at. Maybe Sabbath is something we keep faithfully, or maybe Sabbath is the farthest thing from our faith practice right now, but hopefully we can be challenged from right where we are to take small steps, bite-sized pieces, in appreciating the gift that is Sabbath. So what we're doing to do that is we're certainly studying Scripture. We are also listening to one another. We have some wonderful friends here at Westview who have offered to share candidly, honestly, openly about Sabbath, about keeping Sabbath, learning about Sabbath, the struggles and the joys of Sabbath. And they, like me, and I'm not professing to be an expert in Sabbath by any means. I said that last week. This is a hard one for me. It doesn't come naturally to me. But they as well. None of us are experts in this, but I think there is such value in hearing from one another, from hearing from our friends, the people that we know and recognize, and just as we explore and think about Sabbath together. So each week we're going to look at a video, and we're going to start with that here today. So I'm going to invite you, turn your attention to the screen, and we're going to hear a little bit about Sabbath from some of our friends here at Westview.
So I grew up in the church with my family, and so that is definitely where I learned about Sabbath, from my parents and their brothers and sisters, my aunts and uncles, my grandparents. But as many of us, we go on to college or university or to a job after we leave home, and that changed for me. I had to learn what that meant for it to be my own faith, but also how do I practice the Sabbath and make that day that is specifically set aside from all the other days. I learned how difficult that can be.
It's one of the Ten Commandments. That's how I learned about it, I guess. Sabbath was a day of rest. Sabbath was honoring honoring that commandment. And today, I would say my honoring Sabbath is attending church worship and basically family-orientated type things, getting together with family when that's possible. Also, doing things that are just good. Otherwise, we do just a lot of rest also, not sleeping, not napping, but a restful kind of thing to begin our week.
Most of us start learning about Sabbath as children. In my household, that's what was my first experience with Sabbath. We would consider Sunday as sort of the holy day of the week. You know, we'd get dressed up and go to church, but Sunday always felt kind of stuffy. It was really a day for us children to kind of be quiet and get out of the house so that Dad could rest after his week of work, which is fine, but it didn't feel like a focused, restful day for me. So, as kids, I guess Saturday was more of our day of rest and play and rejuvenation and joy, and it really was unscheduled. And going into more of the work world, more training, medical school, which is what I went to for a few years, and then into medical work, things got a lot more difficult for Sabbath because of irregular schedules, working on weekends, large burdens of work and study to do. And Sabbath became quite challenging to practice because of the felt need to kind of catch up on things. And I think I kind of lost the habit for a while. In more recent years, having come to a point of burning out pretty much in the beginning of 2020, in the midst of this pandemic, I was reminded of, even more importantly, of the importance of intentionally planning for, seeking out and practicing Sabbath, really as kind of like a life-saving practice for me. I needed that rest. I needed that break from responsibility and activity and things like that.
I grew up in the faith and going to church, so I first learned about Sabbath in church, but probably more so by how I observed it in the small town in Northwest Iowa where I grew up. And it was more rules-based. It was more what we could not do. So we would not wash our cars. We would not mow our lawns. We would not hang out the laundry. We did not go out to eat. So as a child, it was maybe a little boring. I felt like I was inside more and there were things I couldn't do. As an adult, I grew to appreciate all that it could be. To have a day that was set apart, that involved rest and relaxation, I learned how life-giving that could be.
Many thanks to those who have worked on that video, putting that together, those who have shared. We appreciate that very, very much. Before we study God's Word, would you please join me in prayer? Lord, we are grateful and thankful for this time that we can study your Word. We know that these are important and holy moments, and so we ask for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us as we dive into the words here that you have before us. So guide everything that is said and guide everything that is heard. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, listen with me to these words from the book that we love. These are the words from the lips of Jesus. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Amen. What a powerful passage. Just a short few verses, and yet there is so much that is packed into those words of Jesus. And as important as all those words are, there might be one word that is perhaps even more important or profound than all the rest. And that might be the very first word, where Jesus says, "Come." Come. It's actually an unusual word. It's not the typical Greek word that is used to then be translated to our fairly mundane English word, come. It's a word that does not show up very often in Scripture, and so when it does show up, it's important for us to take note of it. It only shows up four other times on the lips of Jesus. Twice it shows up with Jesus when he's telling a parable, and the other two times when Jesus uses this word, it's in a context that I think will help us even better understand verse 28. So the one time where Jesus uses that word is found in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he comes across some fishermen, Andrew and Peter. And he says to them, come, follow me. And the other time that Jesus uses that word is later in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew chapter 19, where a rich young ruler comes up to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus and this ruler have a conversation, and near the end of the conversation, Jesus says to this person as well, come, follow me. This is a command. This is a call, a beckoning of others to come, to come and follow, to come on, to come now. Jesus is saying, come, be with me. And so Jesus, this word here for come in verse 28 is a personal, imperative invitation that some of us need to hear today. Come. As we think about Sabbath as rest, we need to hear this today because some of us, maybe many of us, maybe even most of us, have heard the call of Jesus to come and follow him and be his disciple. And we've responded to that call. We responded with joy. We responded with gladness. And we responded with happiness of heart. We were excited to follow after Jesus when he said to us, come, follow me. And then what can sometimes happen is that the novelty and the newness of this following wears off. And what can happen then, and what can take place then, is the ordinary life creeps in. And then there's a hardship or a struggle or a pain that takes place. And then what happens is that it begins to feel like, following Jesus feels like, or even becomes more like, like following the rules, or having to meet expectations, or we have to fulfill things that we think we're supposed to do, and soon enough our life of following after Jesus involves more about checking off the boxes than spending time with the one who called us in the first place. And so Jesus here in verse 28, he says, come. And not just come, but did you hear it? He says, come to me. Come. Come on. Come now. Come be with me. Come. Come not to the expectations that we think we have to meet. Come. Not to the checklist that so often comprises our faith practices. Come. Not to the 193 things that we think we have to do to be a good Christian. Jesus says, come to me. Friends, the one who calls us to follow is the one who invites us to himself. Not to a list, not to a bunch of requirements, not to a job, not to a performance level. He invites us to himself. He says, come to me. And Jesus who calls us, he knows that we are tired. He knows that we are weary. He knows that we are burdened. He knows that we are exhausted from carrying all these things that were never meant to be ours to carry. That was never Jesus' intention. Yet day after day after day, we take all of these things on. Jesus is not asking us to carry all these things. No, he's not asking us to wear ourselves out. He's not asking us to take on the burdens and the expectations and the checklist and the to-do list and all the things that we so often take on. Jesus is all he's doing here is he's saying, come. He's inviting us to come to Him and to rest. There's that phrase later on in verse 28. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. A literal translation of that phrase is, I will refresh you. Doesn't that sound amazing? I will refresh you. West, to use Sabbath as rest is hearing and responding to the call from Jesus to come to Jesus. Because Jesus is where we find our rest. So Sabbath as rest is rest when we come to Jesus. And here's how that's possible. When we come to Jesus, we're invited to leave behind all the burdens that we've been carrying. When we come to Jesus, we're invited to leave behind the checklists and the to-do lists and the agendas. When we're invited to come to Jesus, we're invited to leave behind all the plans and all the stresses. We're invited to leave behind the self-imposed and other imposed expectations. When we're invited to come to Jesus, we're invited to leave behind all that was never meant to be ours to carry. All the things that leave us weary and burdened. We can leave that behind, and instead what Jesus says here is He says, take my yoke upon you. We understand what a yoke is. Have we seen this before? A yoke is this device that is placed over oxen for field work. It couples them together so that the strength of these beasts can be harnessed in order to plow the field, in order that they can be controlled and their strength can be used. Now don't hear what Jesus is not saying here. He's not looking to control us. He's not looking to manipulate us. He's not looking to leverage us in any ways. But when Jesus says, when He says that we come to Him, when He says to take this yoke upon you, Jesus is naming that when we come to Him, what we're doing is we're practicing submission. Just like those oxen are submitting to the yoke that is upon them. They're going to go where the driver leads them to go to plow the field. And so when we come to Jesus and we take His yoke upon us, we are practicing this idea of submission. That we take those burdens that we were carrying, all those things that we named just a moment ago, and none of them He gave us to carry. They were not from Him. They were not from Him to carry. And yet we are exhausting ourselves because we're carrying all these things. And when in reality what we're doing is we're submitting ourselves to them. We're submitting ourselves to those expectations. We're submitting ourselves to those lists and to the checklists and to the to-do things and the levels and all the things we think we have to do. We're submitting ourselves to them, to the ways of this world. And instead, Jesus is saying, take my yoke on instead. You're exhausting yourself carrying all those things. You're carrying a yoke that was never intended to be yours. Instead, Jesus says, come to me, take my yoke on instead, submit yourself to me, my will, my way, my purpose. It's a gentle way. It's a humble way. And Jesus says, in doing so, you will find rest for your souls. Now, if we're keeping track, that's the second time that Jesus has used the word rest in this short passage. And this word for rest is very different than the first word of rest. The first one we heard was about refreshment. This word for rest means you will stop. It's implied that you will stop carrying all those things, all the burdens of the world that make you so tired when you submit yourself to Jesus. Westview, Sabbath as rest is a regular time and a regular practice of submitting to Christ. to release the pressure, to let go of the expectations and the drive and the anxiety and everything else that we put upon ourselves, to let go of our own way, our own plans, our own agendas, all of the burdens that we so regularly carry, and to take on the yoke of Christ. Our regular Sabbath practice not only is intentionally responding to the call of Jesus to be with Him, but it's also this practice of submission to say, Jesus, I've tried my way and I'm tired, and so I want to follow You. I want Your way to be my way. I want Your heart to be my heart's desire. I want to be relieved of these burdens. I want to take on Your gentle way, Your humble yoke, and I want to experience the rest that's found in You. That's the Sabbath rest that we find in Christ. And friends, that happens when we respond to Jesus' invitation to come and submit ourselves to Him. And I understand that it can feel like a little counterintuitive, doesn't it? Where we give up something only to take something back on. But the beauty of this exchange is that we let go of all those things, like we said, that were never meant to be ours to carry. And instead we take on a yoke that Jesus offers to us. And He says that this yoke is easy. And He says it's light. In other words, the yoke that He has for us is well-fitting. It reminds me a little bit of the great children's story, Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Isn't that the one where she eats the porridge and it's too hot and it's too cold and then it's just right? Is that the one? Do I have these stories right? She lays down in the bed and one's too lumpy and one's too hard and then it's just right. Sort of that way with the yoke that Jesus has for us. It's not too hard. It's not too simple. It's just right. And that makes sense, doesn't it? Because Jesus calls us to Himself. He invites us to submit to Him, to remove all those burdens and to submit to His yoke. And it would make no sense, wouldn't it, for Jesus to pile on and to crush our spirits and to give us so much more that it exhausts us again. No, that's not the way of Jesus, not at all. Jesus has a way for us, the way that we submit to and that yoke that we take on. It fits us perfectly. He knows who we are. He knows the plans that are prepared for us. He knows what is before us, and He knows what we need. And the yoke that He gives to us when we come to Him and when we surrender ourselves to Him and when we submit ourselves to Him, that yoke that He puts upon us will feel easy and its burden will be light, for it is exactly what is right for us. And friends, this too is part of the rest that we find in Sabbath. I appreciated what one of our friends said. It's not so much taking a nap, right? Sabbath as rest is not taking a nap. Sabbath as rest is not about laying on the couch all afternoon watching YouTube videos and half falling asleep. Sabbath as rest is hearing the call of Jesus to come and coming. Sabbath as rest is leaving behind all those things that pile on and leave us weary and instead submit ourselves to Jesus. Sabbath as rest is taking His perfect fitting yoke upon us and allowing Him to lead and guide us in our lives. That we seek to know who Jesus is and who we are in relationship to Him. That we seek to know what Jesus' work is and how do we find ourselves in the midst of that grand work. That we seek after Jesus and we find Jesus. Sabbath as rest is a life that is lived with and for Jesus. Let me say that again. I know it's on the screen. Sabbath as rest is a life that is lived with and a life that is lived for Jesus. And friends, Jesus invites all of us into this rest. His invitation to come did not stop here in Matthew 11. But he is still calling each and every one of us, yet even today, even this very moment. And so my question for us this morning is this, do you hear him calling? Have we slowed down enough? Have we stilled ourselves just enough to hear Jesus calling us? Inviting us to come to him. Inviting us to leave behind all those things that are causing us to be weary and burdened, those things that we're so easily susceptible to submit ourselves to, and yet we can leave them behind. We hear him inviting us to leave them behind and to take upon us his yoke, a yoke that is easy, a yoke that is light. But do you hear Jesus calling this morning and saying, come. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Friends, responding to that invitation of Jesus is the way of Sabbath as rest. Amen. Please pray with me. Jesus, for this invitation to come and follow, to come and to be with you, to come and leave behind all that makes us weary, to come and live into your perfect fitting yoke for us. For this invitation to come, we are grateful this morning. Our weary hearts and our weary souls rejoice. We delight in the hope and the promise of rest and peace and hope, that firm confidence that with you and in you all is well, all is as we will ever need. Jesus, we thank you this morning that in you we can find rest. And this morning we pray for our own engagement in Sabbath, that in Sabbath and in coming to you and submitting ourselves to you, seeking and finding you, and Lord, we just pray that wherever we are at this morning in our own Sabbath experience, perhaps today we can again take one initial step forward in resting in you, yielding ourselves, our hopes, our agendas before you, walking in step with you. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of Sabbath keeping that gives us this opportunity. Thank you for rest. God, today our hearts rejoice for so many different things, for baptism and Bible blessings and worship and relationships and health and strength. We're so grateful, God. And God, at the same moment, our hearts are heavy for areas where we see brokenness and pain, for health and uncertainty, fear, violence, friction. Lord, we pray this morning that in the good and in the hard, we can know and we can trust that you are God, and all things are under your control. We pray your will be done, and in all things we will continue to bless your holy name. We thank you for the invitation to come today. And may our hearts find their rest always and only in you. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.